Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here, and you're listening to From Start to Finish podcast, where we are inspiring entrepreneurs to start and to finish. Today on the line, we have Peg Fitzpatrick. She is an author, social media marketing pro. She's just a guru. That's what I call her anyway. And she's a speaker. Peg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I love the premise of your show, From Start to Finish. That's amazing.
Yeah, I find that so many people don't start and finish, and we kind of get like caught up in the fear or the what if, and maybe I can't, and just so many things. So when people hear other people's stories, we're empowered to continue to move on. So what's your story? How did you get started?
Oh boy. Way back in the day, I got started on Facebook, like tons of people. I was on Facebook just using it for myself, like everybody was back in the day. And I was out to dinner with my husband, actually doing like the trophy wife thing, going out and, you know, wining and dining with the bosses. And I was, you know, throwing out all these marketing ideas that I thought Facebook would be amazing for businesses. And this is before businesses were really on it. There was just kind of fan pages that were kind of like celebrity fan pages. So I was like throwing out all these ideas like, oh yeah, you could like find people and talk to people. And so I, you know, was throwing out all these ideas, and they came back and they were like, hey, we'd love to hire you to do all those things. But it was like 6 months later, and I was like, oh shoot, what were all my great ideas? So thankfully I remembered them all, but it's a kind of a great story for entrepreneurs, because, you know, sometimes the job that you want isn't going to be out there, and you have to like come up with the ideas and make it happen yourself. And that's kind of my whole story, is like, all the things that I do that I love now are all kind of jobs that I created myself. My husband likes to tease me and say, you know, you just invented all of your jobs. Nobody does that. I'm like, well, if I can do it, other people can do it too, right?
Definitely. I am. I'm really encouraged, you know, when people say that they just did it, because a lot of people have these amazing ideas that kind of like just sit in the back of our minds. Right. So I'm currently in the process of practicing more of what I preach, and I am learning how to develop apps. And because at the end of the day, I can wait around for a developer to have time, but most of the developers I know have no time. Right. So I said, all of these amazing tools that are available, iTunes U, I'm learning from Stanford. So
that's awesome.
It's really cool to see people just do it. So what are some of the things that you just started?
Well, you know, it was kind of even just Facebook marketing. You know, I figured I would do it. And then it was like, then I just figured out how to do all the things that I wanted to do. So it was like learning how to manage a Facebook page, which is very different than being a person that's active on Facebook. And a lot of people don't see the difference. There's many, many people that still think that social media is just like playing on Facebook all day. Like, what do? Play on Facebook all day? It's so much more complicated than that, especially now. It just keeps getting, you know, with Facebook changes the way they're doing ads, and you can target your ads, and, you know, all these, they've actually given a lot of tools back to businesses, especially small businesses and entrepreneurs. You know, I was afraid to try advertising or anything because it just seemed too expensive. Like, as an individual, you're developing an app and you're like, okay, well, so now I spent all my time creating this app. I need to market this, but I have, you know, I need to do it on social media. How do I do it? Mm-hmm. Then you have to figure out how to do that. So that's basically kind of what I did. You know, I figured out how to do it. And if I were you, I would think, well, gosh, Facebook is probably too hard, too expensive, but it's really not. You could figure out ways to target ads to exactly the people who would use your product, use your app. And they even have like app, they have like special click, call to action buttons on your cover photos now, where you could like get people to download your app, like if you had a special going on and it was free. And you can do really inexpensive ads for as low as like $1 a day, which is insane. So you could put $5 behind something and get some serious traction.
Wow.
So it's kind of like learning how to do the things I want to do like that. Like, if I was you, that's what I would figure out. So I never look at things like they can't be done. I think this is what I want to do. And then I figure out how to do it. So that's what I did. You know, that's how I got started, was Facebook marketing, basically.
And around when did you get your first job, when they asked you? Around what year was that?
Oh, it was probably like 6 years ago.
Yeah, she says it was like so long ago. Feels like a year.
I know. Well, in social media, that's kind of a long time ago, but it's really not. I mean, when people say they have like 15 years and so with social media experience, they don't, because there was no social media. Yeah. That is not true.
very much so. Very much. Unless they were talking about AIM, there was none. Forums.
Yeah, well, I can say media. I was on AOL back in the day.
I was as well. Remember the status updates that you could do?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do a little double play today. Today we have The Truth with On Duty from his 2005 album, The Faith.
More vocals and track. Yeah. Let the ball go play.
In the time of Martin Luther, the King, and the great Elvis. Dane Shelfers held us up on his shoulders, told us how to live godly, so all the people that trail us. Yes, can truly testify that before God rested our eyes, we arrested our lives. Yeah. So for the rest of our lives, it's gonna look like we dressed in disguise, but the treasure's inside. And it's a pot of gold. Most of our peers think that God is old, just a man upstairs. Partly because we keep our God on the low, so they can't see how God is involved in our human affairs. Yeah, but since we the saints, we gotta be mindful of the picture we paint. So every picture they take, they get snapshots of Holy Spirit-filled Christians that got victory, ain't we on duty?
We on the same old blocks, different but not the same. Like playing close cops on duty. Yo, we some plain old pots, but you can find the treasure, and this where the rainbow stops. We on duty. We on the same old blocks, different but just the same. Like playing close cops on duty. Yo, we some plain old pots, but you can find the treasure, and this where the rainbow stops.
Saints that have showed us the ropes, holding us close to shape and mold us. They ain't despised, find us looking for ways to remind us of the mind of God. So now when we look behind us, yeah, it's an army of saints, young dudes broadcasting their faith, forecasting by faith. Yeah. Cause I like to see more of the people of God, like the Latter-day Saints, black tie, trench coat, and the tag with their names of the J-Dubs at the door before the Saturday games. And listen, you can't miss them, you know them. Probably diss them, you blow them off in a second. They show us up with a presence that's public.
So tell us, so you are a speaker, you're an author, you're a blogger, and you're just all around media. Tell us about the book, The Art of Social Media. And I've read the book, I've done the review. I love the book. I was actually looking for a link in it the other day. It is the how-to book. What made you guys get together and say, this is how you do it?
Well, basically, it's one of the things I get asked the most is like, how do I do everything that I do? Mm-hmm. How do I manage all the things that I manage? I manage a total social media platform of like 11 million every day. That's like the number that I across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Google+. So it's a big network. So people ask me all the time, like, how do you do it? So I asked Guy, you know, if he wanted to write this with me, and he was like, sure, that's a great idea. And then he was like, no, I don't want to write a book on social media. And I was like, what? I was like, fine, I'll write it myself. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I just continued to write it myself. And then I sent it to him later and I was like, what do you think? And he was like, okay, this is really good. Well, I do want to work on it now. So then we kind of went through like a whole big rewrite of it. Uh-huh. But basically, you know, that's another instance where a lot of people maybe would have said, okay, this isn't a good idea, I'm going to stop. But instead I thought it was a good idea, so I kept going with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did, because I think it's helped a lot of people. So basically, the how to, you know, our goal was to make it a really practical, hands-on book, not theory, because there's a lot of books on like, you should do this and you should do that from experts telling you how many times you should post and what you should post. And, you know, our thing is, this is what we've tried and tested, and this is what grows our social media platforms. My social platform's at like 925,000 myself. I'm almost up to 1 million. So these are the things that I've done. Like, that's going from like 1500, like 3 years ago, like total. So I've grown my own over that amount of time. So these are the things that Guy and I do that worked to grow our social platform. But at every turn, we're telling people, test these yourself and see if it works for you. Because social media is not the same for one person or another person. You know, there's no two companies that have the same social media either. Even if you want to compare like Coke and Pepsi, you know, it's two different family stories, two different background stories. You know, McDonald's and Burger King could be, you'd think they would be similar, but they're two totally different premises. So it's the same with people. So there's really no one size fits all answer. So we just tried to come up with the practical tips and how we do things so people could like figure out how to do things and test it on their own, you know, take what works for them. Some people, it's interesting because I love hearing how people read the book, because some people read right through it the first time and then they go back and highlight, and other people just can't help but stop and start trying things immediately, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun too. That's basically why we did it, why we wrote it, to help other people learn how to be awesome on social media.
And you're so passionate about social media. It's really refreshing to hear people who just love it. And I'm a person that just loves it. I remember when I started it, it was like, oh, wow, like I can communicate with all of these people. And through school and all that kind of stuff, I had kind of had to take a break. But then I wrote my second book and I was like, OK, I really have to get back into it. And it's crazy how a passion stirs. You see all the changes, but you see that the desire to help people is still there. So what has been your passion throughout the years? So you're a writer, you write fluently, and you're an organizer. I can definitely tell that you are an admin type person. So yeah. Where growing up, where did this stuff kind of, where can you kind of like identify, oh, wow, I was kind of working on that and preparing myself when I was younger. Can you identify any of those?
Here's the interesting thing. When I go back and I look at, you know, where my educational background, what my educational background is, I was getting a degree in education with a minor in English. I had a double major in education and geography. And what I do now is I write and I teach people how to do things and I travel around. So I essentially really used my whole degree program.
Nice.
So it's interesting that I did that. I mean, I wish I could say like, I totally did that on purpose, but I guess I'm consistent in the things that I love. I love reading and I love learning. And then I like to share it with other people, you know, teach, because that's one thing, is that a lot of people aren't like me. They don't want to spend a whole lot of time to learn how to do something. Mm-hmm. They would rather just, you know, find something and learn how to do it. And I would too. I mean, sometimes I would love to be able to just Google something and get the answer that I want. But a lot of times what I want to know isn't written yet. So that's part of how I, you know, then I'm like, well, if I'm going to do all this research, I might as well share it with someone else, right?
Realize that this song was 5 years old. Here is Chris Tomlin with Our God. This song still has so much power in it. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. your life? I think that's always a question that I ask people, because social media is always available for you. So how do you balance your life? I saw that you know, you're scheduling and stuff like that, but I'm sure some things hit that email and you're just like, okay, I need the answer.
I know. That actually is my goal for my 2015 goal this year, was like, work on balance. I have it like on a little post-it note on my computer. That is one thing that is very, very hard to do, because social media is on 24/7 and it's my job. So it makes it a challenge. You know, I manage Facebook pages that, you know, it's not like you can just walk away from them for the weekend. They do need to be monitored. Mm-hmm. So, I could use a better balance, actually.
Gotcha.
But for people who aren't social media professionals, you should not let it take up that much of your time.
Yeah.
You know, what I do is I turn stuff off when I'm writing or working on projects. I don't check Twitter. I don't check Facebook. When it's time to go through and check things, I do. And when it's not, I leave it off. And the same goes for email. Like, I wish I could be a person that just checked my email in the morning and at night, but I can't, because I work at home and, you know, I'm connected with people in all different time zones. So, you know, you do have to stay on top of your email more than that, unfortunately. So, and then I don't have any notifications on my phone or my iPad that make any noise. I think that's one thing that people just are so obsessed with, checking everything all the time. And then when the notification's on, it's like, you just can't avoid it. It's like, ooh, wait, what is that tweet? I probably need to check it. And, you know, the world is not going to end, you know, like, so you just have to like set yourself free a little bit and just turn off the notifications. It's hard, because you go from at the beginning where you're dying to get notifications, where, I mean, I remember when you like the first time when somebody at mentioned me on Twitter, it's like, oh my gosh, somebody talked back to me. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you try to get more of it to happen, and then more does happen. And now I'm at the point where, you know, I could literally just stay on Twitter and answer them all day, but then how could I get anything else done? So yeah, you do have to just like look at the chunks of time that you have and use them wisely. So I try to do those things, and I need to work on a better balance.
I guess my question is, like, if you look at your site, it's very much, it's so social media orientated, because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. How do you balance your passion remaining authentic in social media, and as well as giving people what they desire? So how are you writing posts? Are you writing them just simply because, oh, I have to write this post? Or are you just as passionate about the post as you are the content and as the things that you're doing?
Yeah, I don't just write a post to write a post. Mm-hmm. I write about things that I'm really excited about. So if I'm busy and I don't get a post that week, I only write once a week for my own blog.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little time that I carve out on Saturday mornings that I write. Because I just can't fit it in all the rest, you know, the rest of the week. So I write over the weekend. I usually already am pre-writing it in my head, because I pick my topic. And I try to, you know, make it as short as possible, but that never happens, because you keep getting longer. So I am passionate about my blog, and I do like sharing things. And a lot of times I pick topics that people have asked me questions about,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they need more information on.
So what are the things are you working on? Like, it's kind of hard to keep up with you. What are some of the, you know, the pressing things that you're working on that you can give us an example of?
Okay, so some of the projects I work on, Guy and I have a couple webinars coming up. So I will work on getting the presentations together, meaning, like, you know, I'll start with an outline, and then I'm filling it out, then I'm creating the graphics and doing all that. And that's a pretty long process, because we go back and forth on it and both share, you know, we go back and forth on our ideas, and then we decide who's going to do which part and what part, and then, you know, doing all the graphics. And so I'm like a team of one. I do like all my own graphics. I do my, you know, all of it. I don't have people that are doing things for me as far as like posting for the accounts. So, you know, I have a lot to do. And when I publish a post, I don't just hit publish and leave it. I actually do a lot of social media promotion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very picky about using the right size graphics on the right social network so they look well. So that takes a lot of time too.
So how about this? You know, for all of those who are, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs, and it seems a bit overwhelming to do social media sometime, can you give us an example of your workflow? Because you do outline it in the book as well. And just, you know, so you do a post. What's next? So you've written your post. Take us through a bit of that, if you could.
Okay. So I have a new WordPress plugin that I'm using called Social Warfare. And it allows me to add the images, more than one image size, into this plugin. And it doesn't slow my WordPress blog down. So because I like to have the big, I like it to look good when other people share it too. There's like different things to think about. Like when you're sharing it, you can add your graphic. But what happens when somebody goes to share it from your blog? That's another thing to think about. So this plugin kind of answers that. So once I hit publish and I already have the main feature image in there, I make an image for Pinterest, I make an image for Twitter, and I make an image that works for Facebook Open Graph, like the size that will work when people embed it, like if they just happen to put the link in and let the image pull in. So I make all my graphics, then I go to Pinterest and I pin it, and then I just kind of start social sharing it around on all my different networks. So they go out at different times. So basically, I have a little, you know, system of places that I share each of my posts. I never just hit publish and forget about it, because thinking that people are just going to find your post without some promotion is, you know, silly. So usually by that time, then I have to go back, I check the post to see if there's any comments. My blog isn't one that's big on comments, because I write a lot of how-to posts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have questions, but it's not like the opinion kind of post where people are like, I disagree with you. I don't write that kind of content. So I think people that write that kind of content have more comments and discussions going on. But basically, that's kind of how I get the word out. I just have a process, and I use all the right size images that work, you know, for the different social platforms, and I share it.
Here's your man, The Truth, again with Hunger Games off of Love, Hope, War.
We're always choosing misery because we haven't planned to say no to that second helping, or that drink, or that look into the magazine, or getting out of bed in the morning, and so we surrender in the moment to the God of the belly.
Could have been why I should have listened to the prophet, but your little homie told you you should try it. For you knock it and you did it, you got with it, and it felt so microscopic. That's until you tried to quit it and you found you couldn't stop it. Slave now, addicted to the rush. It's what you crave now, cannot get enough. You're a Christian on a mission, and the battle here is tough. And the matter that you grapple with is battling with lust. I know, just took another peek into the magazine, dipped another finger in the Vaseline. Flush was on fire, gave it gasoline. And this is just a battle for your average teen. And every human with a beating heart. Every Christian struggles, but we pressing just to meet them all. Supernatural powers running through us, cause we need the spark. But we can't determine if we Spider-Man or Peter Parker. And I'm confused now, which one is it? Losers, are we winners? Are we saints or are we sinners? And I'm trying to figure out if we victims or we victors. But I guess it all depends on what you cooking up for dinner. I'm gone. This power's running through my veins. I could change if I want to change. Temptation's driving me insane. Welcome to the Hunger Games. They say you is what you eatin', and you really love God. You been shining like a beacon, and you silent, you got knowledge. You been walking in your freedom, and you faithful through the week, but you be fighting on the weekends. I know the Christian life's a struggle now. Friday night is popping in the city, life is buzzing now. That's about the time you used to call out for another round. Now you gotta choose between life and the underground. Feel like you owe it to yourself, don't you? Send this magnetic when it pulls ya. Trying to pull away, but it keeps pushing. And you want it bad, but you know it's poison. Like, my God, I feel so powerless. Crying out to heaven, saying, Jesus, I know I'm a mess. Looking at the hours left, Jesus, get me out of this. Cause you know
how are your relationships key to what you do? Because when you talk about social media, really what you're talking about is relationships. How do you navigate, especially being a female? Because it's not normal to see females still, even though there are a plethora of us now, it's still not normal to see females in this arena.
Well, I know, and I'm not really sure why that is either. I mean, speakers for sure, there's mostly male speakers and bloggers too. And to me, that's the silliest thing, because why does it matter if someone's a man or a woman on a blog?
Yeah.
It's 98% of the time you're not even going to meet them or know who they are, but for some reason, it's a male-dominated industry, and I say, forget that, you know. And I said, forget that a long time ago. I'm like, you know, come on, you know, we're all equal. We all have a WordPress blog. We all have Twitter accounts. So just do your thing. And I try not to think about the gender things, but they definitely are there. But I just, I do, you know, I'm obviously I have relationships with men and women kind of equally on social media. I never look at it as a deferent, but I do try to support, you know, female bloggers a lot. I think that no blogger is successful as an island. You do need to build a network of people. And it doesn't take a huge network. I think if you can build a really great relationship with like 5 or 10 other people that you're sharing their content, that they will come and share your content too. I'm not one of those people who relies on, you know, going around and bugging people once they hit publish and sending people messages on Facebook and Twitter saying, will you please share my post, or emailing, Christina, I saw that you recently posted on social media. You might like to share this with your audience. Like, I don't do those things and they annoy me. So
I just got my first one like that. And I was like, huh?
I know.
And then the like, post was like crazy. And I was like, I can't share that with my audience.
Yeah. They're just, I know. And isn't that annoying that now it's like, now do you respond to that person saying no, thank you? And then they're going to bother you again. It puts you in a, it's a weird administrative position, but yeah. Or Christina, this, I think that your audience would really enjoy this infographic on, you know, something that's not tires. And you're like, no, no, nobody would, that's not what I do. So yeah, it's hard. Cause when you get to the point where people do that a lot, it takes up a lot of email time. But yeah, I rely on my network of people that I share their content, and I hope that they come and share mine too. And I feel like, you know, there's the blogging world is so big. I think you can have a relationship with people that do the same exact thing as you, and it does not hurt your stuff.
No, because it's still there's still not enough content. I think that's what a lot of people forget, is that content, good content, it's still very minimal. Like, to be able to say, hey, I really like this content, and oh, this is cool, but it's really short-lived. I personally like content that is like, oh, I need to go back to that because there was something else that I kind of missed. I couldn't just read the 7 steps too. Like, it allowed me to process it better. So regardless of what you're posting, as long as it's good content, everyone can eat.
Right. Exactly.
I see that you smile a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a great thing because a lot of people don't smile.
I know. What's up with that?
I don't know. It's like we're so depressed. But it's probably
when I'm in New York City, people just think I'm crazy.
Okay. You live in New Hampshire, right?
Yeah, I live in New Hampshire.
So like the city is like, oh, wow, this is the big city. So I completely understand. And you're just, it's something about the city. I was asking, who was I talking to last week? I forget. But I was talking about just being in a different place and how it makes you creatively like spark up. Do you have any creative sparks that just like light up your life, like certain situations or places?
New York City does for sure. Okay. I love New York City. Okay. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be there all the time because it's too loud for me. Yeah, I mean, now I've been busy in New Hampshire for a while and it's nice and quiet and that's nice too. But yeah, I think that, let's see, that does, you know, being offline, I love to travel. So going to different countries is also really interesting. And going to, because I work at home, I'm by myself a ton. So it's really fun to go to conferences too.
Yeah.
I just got back from Social Media Marketing World recently, and it was like all marketers and people who want to talk about blogging and social media all the time. So that's awesome.
I know. I was about to say, you were an overload. Came back
I totally was.
We have Philly Tech Week in 2 weeks, and I just signed up for a lot of stuff. And I'm like so excited to be around people who think like me, you know, because it is a different world with people who don't necessarily think social media. They don't necessarily think tech. So being around other people definitely sparks that creative desire and inspiration on us.
And I have my best friend, Rebecca Radice, actually met her online like 3 or 4 years ago. And we're like blogging buddies. So we talk about our blogs and our social media like all the time. I think it's really important to have somebody who you can bounce ideas off of and share things with. And just, you know, we figure out how to do something, we share it with each other. It's really helpful.
Definitely is. It definitely is. So what have been some of your biggest challenges with entrepreneurship and, you know, social media and not just being, you know, something you do, but a career?
Well, I think I was in a little bit different situation than most people because I started out with a job. So that, you know, most people want to do social media and they don't have a job or a career already in the field. So they are trying to like figure out how to do it and make money, which is a big challenge for a lot of people. And I have to say, I was lucky I didn't have that. But I think that probably that's most people's challenge. And then the other thing is to make sure that you're doing things that do make you money and you don't get sucked into time, things that suck your time that aren't making money, which is very easy to do on social media. You know, you can be busy you can be doing things all day, but are these adding to your bottom line? So it's kind of, you know, looking at things saying, is this, you know, the best use of my time? Should I be doing this? And learning to say no to things, you know, that aren't going to be a good use of your time.
And I guess my next question would be kind of like, if you were giving advice to someone who was just starting out, what would be some of the key advice you give? Granted, everyone is different.
Yeah.
But what do you feel like people should spend the most time on while they're developing their brand?
Well, depending on what your learning style is, I like to read books and like just consume written word. So for me, like reading books and reading blogs, learning the way that works best for you. So if you're like a visual learner, you know, find online webinars like or classes like lynda.com or something like that. There's a lot of information out there. Just make sure that, you know, you're constantly staying on top of things, but not to the point where you're just reading things and never implementing things. There's like the balance between learning and implementing. You know, at some point you have to like get started. So I would say that, and I would also say, you know, one thing that I did that's different than other people is I actually did, you know, connect with Guy and work on some projects with him that weren't necessarily paid projects in the beginning. But, you know, sometimes you have to get to know people because there's a lot of trust when you're working with people on their blogs or social media. So sometimes you might work with people on a basis where they're getting to know you or you're getting to know them before it turns into a paid situation. And, you know, that's okay. Don't just say, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to get paid for that. I know I just said to do things that make you money, but when you're learning, sometimes you need to, you know, if you can connect with someone and say, hey, I'm trying to learn, you know, can I intern with you for a month or something? You know, maybe somebody doesn't have a little thing up saying they're looking for an intern, but maybe they would welcome, you know, this is my area of expertise. I'm trying to get better at it. So try to connect with people that you can learn from too.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a difference between just not doing it because you're, you know, you're wasting your time doing it than investing your time into someone else. And then that person being able to pour into you, to help mold you and shape you, that's completely different than just wasting your time, you know, looking at what other people are doing. So I completely cheer that one on myself as well. And since you work from home, what is your favorite place to work?
I usually just work at my desk because I live in New Hampshire. We do not have a lot of outdoor time, but I was just thinking yesterday, pretty soon it'll be time to work out on the deck and that will be awesome. So then you can work wherever you want, but I'm not a person that likes to work in a coffee shop if it's noisy. And a lot of people do meet in coffee shops now to work and have meetings. So it's not like it used to be where you could like go and just kind of hang out. So I usually do work at my desk. That's boring, but true.
Hey, listen, whatever works for you.
When I first wake up, then I work on my smartphone a little bit.
Got you. And since you're a reader, my last question for you is, what books are you reading or what books have been the most profitable for you?
Ooh, I just got in the mail right before we got on the phone, Leave Your Mark by Aliza Licht, and I'm totally dying to read it.
Okay.
She is amazing. She does the global PR for Donna Karan International. So she's a PR person, but she does social media. She runs at Donna Karan, the Twitter account, which is huge. And she kind of innovated social media into the whole fashion industry. This is like pre-fashion bloggers or Instagrammers or anything. So I'm really excited to read her book and see what she has to say about, you know, how to use social media in your career, because she's someone who actually does it and works for a huge global brand. So I love, you know, that kind of advice, as opposed to people who are, you know, social media writers, but they don't actually do it. They haven't actually done it or worked with brands. So
I still don't understand how that works, but you know.
How they write the books?
Yeah.
I don't
either. They're not doing it. Well, yeah.
I know. Yeah. There's a lot of them, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the one I'm excited to read. Mm-hmm. And the other book I'm reading is Contagious by Jonathan Berg, which is exploring why things become popular.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not done with that yet. So that's what I'm reading.
Hey, that's okay. At least you're starting it. I'm putting these things on my wish list now. I am a bookworm, and sometimes it's the best of both worlds. Because I feel like I want to read everything. So knowing what is a speed read and what is a devour really helps. Yeah.
Contagious is not a speed read, but it's written by like a college professor. So it's higher level thinking, which is good too. I like to mix it up, you know?
Yeah, you need a little research to go along with it sometimes.
Yeah.
So definitely. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. I am like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I think I'm just going to start bugging her because I just love her personality. So
I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. You know, I had Guy on and it's like, you know, it's one thing like Guy, he's just hilarious. So I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, well, just read the book. Help me out. So, and I was like, why not have Peg on? One of the things that I do run into that my listeners can definitely, you know, hear and understand is finding women to interview. Like it was really like, I think my first 10 podcasts have all been males. So like I looked around and I was like, hold on, where are the females at? So just intentionally looking for women that are doing it, that are excelling and that are transparent about what they're doing has really been an awesome, awesome journey. So definitely, you definitely had to be on here for me. I was excited when you said yes.
Awesome.
So definitely check out pegfitzpatrick.com. That's pegfitzpatrick.com. She is on every single network. Her Pinterest is amazing. Her Instagram is full of smiles and her Twitter is full of information. So check her out and you know, retweet. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Peg.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys for joining the show today. We're going to end it off with Gary Clark Jr. with Bright Lights off the Bright Lights EP. This guy is a beast on the guitar. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us with episode 18 on From Start to Finish with ChristinaFaith.com. Yeah.
shots, waiting on tomorrow, trying to fill up what's hollow. You gonna know my name. You gonna know my name.
Yeah.